Blog Talk Radio.
evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining in on this Monday night. It is a snowy Monday night in Chicago. When I tell you we got snow, we got snow. Only difference between us and Colorado is we got a little more houses and neighborhoods than they have in Colorado. They have a lot of land, but they have a lot of more snow. But it looked like a baby Colorado. So with that being said, Blog Talk, Smile3E, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries would like to say we are here for you to get the word of God tonight from an awesome woman of God. She is going to just pour it on us, pour it in us, so you all get your cups so they can get filled with the word of God on tonight. Get your Bibles, pencils, pads, notebooks, papers, chalkboards, iPads, laptops, computers, anything and everything you need to jot down the information you're going to be given tonight. And I just want to say I'm excited. I hope you are, because I'm excited with what God is doing in the world right now. I'm excited with what God has on schedule for us in America and for us all over the world. I'm just excited about what God is doing, because there is a shift spirit realm that is going to also work in the natural realm. So with that being said, let's just say amen. Amen. I am your host on tonight. I am Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and we have a speaker who is Dr. Serena Wright. I'm going to check to see if the doc is on the line right now. Dr. Wright, are you on the line? I guess she's not on the line as of yet, but as we be patient and just get ready for her to get on the line, we will be getting purposely ready for the word of God. So please, 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 just get ready. Get ready, get ready. I'm reading a text she sent to me. Okay, she said that she's caught up at work. So what we're going to do is we're going to do Blog Talk. And this way, I just want you all to get ready for everything that God has planned for us. God says to always be ready. So if something comes up that we are not able to follow through, we got to do what God told us to do. So let's go into prayer right now, and I'm going to try to set Facebook up so that we can just continue to do what God has for us to do. So I want you all to just go with me to get your Bibles. As we pray, we'll come back to that. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for yesterday. Father God, we thank you for everything that you are doing for us and with us, oh God. God, we thank you that we are in a place that we can come before you and ask you for forgiveness, to ask you for just bringing us to a place of spiritual awakening, bringing us to a place where we know that we need you, we love you, we honor you, we respect you, and God, we know above all things, we need you. And with that being said, God, we want to just let you know that we remember your word. We remember the word that you put this ministry on, the word that says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, with that being said, we know that we are seeking God. We know that we are looking for God to be our leader, to be our guidance, to be our father, to be our savior. So with that being on our hearts and on our lips, we want to make sure that our hearts and our lips matches up with our spirit to say, God, I need you. If I don't do anything else, God, I got to say, I need you. If I don't say anything else, God, I got to say, I need you. For God, you are my tower, you are my deliverer, you are my shield, you are my strong place. God, I know this. God, we're asking you to cover our households. We're asking you to cover our health and our strength and our financial stability, God. God, we're asking you to cover our jobs. We're asking you to cover our cities, our states, our countries. God, we're just asking you to cover us. Cover us going in. Cover us coming out. Cover us when we sleep. Cover us when we woke, oh God. God, cover our family that's out in the streets right now, whether it's going to work, coming home for work, or while they're at work. God, cover them. Bring them home safe and sound, oh Lord. God, I just want to say, I want to ask you to cover America. Bring America back to you, oh Lord. God, we ask you for your mercy. God, we ask you for your grace, oh God. We thank you for loving us continually, still loving us, oh God, because we know that you have set this a country on the foundation that says, in God we trust. God, we're coming back to a place that we're going to stand on, in God we trust. We trust you with it all, oh Lord. We trust you with it all. God, be our Savior. Be our Lord, and we will be your people, oh God. God, we just want to thank you. Keep all corona, keep all carjackings, keep all accidents, harm, evil, danger, and death from us, oh God. Take us safely back that's traveling by train, plane, and automobiles. God, we just want to say we thank you. We thank you, we thank you. God, everything we have on the altar, God, we're going to leave it on the altar and wait on you, oh God. Teach us how to patiently wait on you. Don't teach us how not to get in a place of anxiousness, God, for you did not give us a spirit of anxiousness, oh Lord. God, we just want to ask you, cover us right now in your son's blood, in Jesus' blood, God, cover us. Put your blood on the doorpost of our heart. Put your blood on the doorpost of our homes. God, just put your blood all over us. Wash us, God, that we may come out cleaner than snow. For God, we love you, we honor you, we respect you, God, and teach us how to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Psalms 142 with me. And we're going to read the first verse. And it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaints before him. I showed before him my troubles. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. And the way wherein I walked have thy privately laid a snare for me. God, I just want to say, with reading this and looking at the news and talking with people, I'm hearing how the people are crying out, Lord, let the schools open up. Lord, let the restaurants open up. Lord, let the nightclubs open up. Yeah, they call it for the nightclubs to open up. They're asking God to open up everything. But God, one thing I haven't heard out publicly loud is for them to holler out, God, open the church back up. God, let us be able to run to church. Let us be able to run to you. I haven't. I didn't say what you heard. I said what I haven't heard on the news. I haven't heard them say, God, we need to get before you. God, we need to be at a place where we know we can get in your face and get on your altar. And we know we have your altars built in our homes and we have your altars built in our hearts. But God, we haven't asked you out loud in front of everybody The news is reporting everything, but they haven't reported that yet to open up the church like they're asking to open up the schools, to send the children back to schools, because if we be honest, a lot of people I'm not going to say they're not caring about their children not learning. Yeah, they care about that. But a lot of people don't want to spend that much time with their own children. And I'm going to pause right there so some of us can say hallelujah. Some could say amen. Some could say ouch. Some could say, oh, Lord, I hope that ain't me. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I'm looking for a time when the people say we need a revival. And I'm saying all that to say this. I remember growing up, I would hear my friends at school and friends I hung out with say, oh, I got to go to church. We're having a revival. Or I can't come and hang out. I can't do this. I can't do that because the church is having a revival. I remember those days. And the first verse in Psalms 142 said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So I'm crying unto the Lord to say, God, take us back to the place where we openly cry out, Lord, I need you. Lord, with all these carjackings going on, Lord, I need you. With all of these jobs closing down, Lord, I need you. With all of these people getting sick and dying, to say, Lord, I need you. With families breaking up and people walking away and people not caring, to say, Lord, I need you. And I'm going to give you a good example of why I say people not caring. Excuse me. I have a neighbor that lives across the street from me, and this neighbor, in the summer, he keeps his lawn immaculate. He keeps in front of his house clean, where you walk past and you say, wow, his grass is beautiful. It's like he have a silk front on it. You know them lace fronts, a wig. That's how nice his lawn looks all the time. And I noticed for the last couple of days since it's been snowing that the snow was constantly building up and building up and building up. So I kind of got, as they say, a nosy neighbor attitude. I started looking out my window, and when I couldn't see it very clear, I walked to my door and opened it up. And when I saw neighbors out, I said, hey, excuse me. Now, where I live, I've only been over here a little over a year and a half, and I was kind of surprised that nobody had paid attention when I said, hey, have you seen the old man live over there? And they was like, huh? I said, have you seen him? Because I noticed that his area isn't shoveled. The house on his left side is shoveled out in front, from the porch down the sidewalk, down the walkway, and down, up and down the street. I noticed the house on the other side, same thing, but in front of his house and his yard, the snow is knee-deep. I noticed that. And I noticed that there was no smoke coming out of his chimney. So one side of me said, leave it alone. But the other side that says, God, teach me how to see people the way you see people. Teach me how to love people the way you love people. That side of me says something's wrong. Yeah, I had to be a nosy neighbor. I had to put my 2 cents in. So I went to the door and saw a neighbor cleaning off his car and shoving out his park place, like I said, and I asked him, hey, have you seen him? And he said, huh? And I said, the guy over there, have you seen him? Because I noticed his snow having been moved. And he said, he looked about 2 or 3 seconds, and he said, well, I can see where somebody, he didn't walk out. I said, those footsteps are not walking out of his house. There, somebody was walking up to his house. I don't know if they went to knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and ask him if he wanted his snow plowed or shoveled away. I said, but it's the same footprints coming back down. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, because you can see where the door has never opened. Yeah, I was playing a detective. I was being a, what was that detective name when we was growing up? Columbo. I was doing some Columboing. I was investigating because I want to see things the way God sees things. So I began to say, something's not right over there. I said, because the man normally keeps his front of his house shoveled because he has a big, like a Ram 1500, that big truck with a snow plow on it, but the truck wasn't out there with the plow. Nothing was there. All of that from in front of the house all the way up to the doorway was full of snow. And the guy looked at me and he said, oh, and went back to doing what he was doing. Like he didn't care. He didn't think about it. He didn't breathe on it. He just, oh. I said, wow. So I went and called a person I know from the neighborhood, and I said to her, do you know the guy across the street from me? And if you do, do you know what is something wrong? Is something going on? She said, no. Why you say that? And I told her, because I noticed that his street work had been done, the shoveling in front of his house and the park place and so on and so on. And she said, no, let me make a phone call or two and I'll call you back. So while she was doing that, I kept hearing her. I kept praying. I said, Lord, I hope everything's okay, because I'm constantly looking and I don't see no smoke coming out of his chimney. It's smoke coming out of mine, and it's smoke coming out of the house on his left, and it's smoke coming out of the house on his right. And you can see the chimneys in back of the house across from the alley. Smoke is coming out of those chimneys, and I'm looking up and down the street, and I see smoke coming out of these chimneys. Now, mind you, my block was so full of snow that it was a car stopped in an intersection where even if you got out of your garage, because I stay on a cul-de-sac, you could not turn a corner and go anywhere because the car was sitting up on top of a snowbank from that was in the street that they couldn't get over. So I called 311. Because in my spirit, it kept saying, do a well-being check, do a well-being check. So I called 311 and said, the lady answered. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm Sylvia Kaiser, and I'm not trying to get in nobody's business, but I want to know, how do you report a well-being call? And she went to ask me questions, and she said, well, do you know how old is he? Is he a senior citizen? And I was thought to myself, why do a person have to be a senior citizen only for you to check on him? I said, yes, by the way, he is a senior citizen. Do you know how old he is? I said, well, ma'am, I only been over here for a little over a year and a half. I said, I really don't know my neighbors. I said, because I haven't been going door to door. I said, but I did speak to him a couple of times coming in and going out. I said, I believe he's 65 or older, but I explained to him about how he keeps his grass and how he normally shovels out his front of his house and his walkway and all of that. And she said, okay. She said, would you like to leave your name and your number? And I started not to, and I said, well, I don't want nobody to feel like I'm in their business. I said, but you know what? Yes. I gave her my name and my phone number, which y'all know you call the city or any place of government. They already have an ID caller. They know who you are before you do. I'm just going to laugh on that one. But within the hour, the Salvation Army called me and said, I would like to know, why were you asking for a well-being check? And it kind of like ticked me off, but at the same sense, I thought about, no, you have to be careful with everything you're doing nowadays because people are on so much. You know how the young people say they're doing too much. People own stuff, so once I gave her the same report I gave to 311, she said, I just wanted to make sure that the stories had matched up. I said something right there. She wanted to make sure that the stories had matched up. So I said, okay. She said, well, I'm outside in the van, and I'm finna walk over there. I said, well, ma'am, I see you because I'm looking out the window right now. She kind of giggled. I said, I'm watching you go up to the house. So she got out the van, and she went over to the house. Then the gentleman got out, and he walked up behind her, and he started walking through the snow. Now, I told you the snow is up around your knees. Now, this gentleman looked like he was about 6'1 or something, but the snow was covering up around his knees. So as he stepped through the snow, he grabbed a hold to the banister to go up the stairs, and I watched him knock on the door and knock, 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 and then he leaped over the banister and knocked on the window. Then he came down the stairs and saw where the stairs was sticking out along among the banisters. So he had one foot on one side and the other foot on the other side as he walked up and tapped on the window and banged on the window. And then he finally came down, and the young lady had walked down the streets a little bit, and then she started pointing down the walkway. And then the young man walked down the walkway. Then he started going behind, down the walkway to the back of the house. And after about 5 minutes, he came back, and they got in the vehicle. And I said, wow. I said, I guess they'll call and let me know. So she finally called and said, this is Salvation Army calling back. And we heard something in the back, and immediately, you know, my heart kind of jumped. We heard a noise in the back, and we went back there and talked with him. He said that he was okay and that he had not got a chance to get in the front to clean it up because he had so much snow in the back. He was digging out his truck while he was cleaning up his yard. And immediately I felt kind of calm and cool and collective. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, did you tell him that he had a neighbor that was worried about him? She said, yes, I did. And he said, oh, wow, thank you. And I said all that to say, sometime we have to cry out, even if it's not for us but for others. I believe somebody was in need. I believe that something was different because it didn't look normal. You know, like I said, they cried for the schools to open and the restaurants to open and the movie theaters to open up. They want everything 100%. They crying for all of this stuff to open up 100% because of their financial needs. Yes, we all have them. But when somebody that haven't been seen normally is out there and it was for caring about somebody because of the love, whether it's a person you in love with or a family member you love or just somebody you have loved because of mankind that God intended for us to have, I cried out for this guy because he lives alone. And out of the 1.5 years I've been over here, I have never seen anybody come to visit. I mean nobody. I don't want to say a daughter, son, sister, brother. I mean nobody. Nobody but the the mail people dropping off your bills. That's it, but nobody to come to visit. So I was like, wow, if something had happened to him, who would know? Because there was no way of getting into this house, not unless you call the police or the fire department or somebody had to break in. But with the snow piled up that high, and that's a nice house, I didn't want nobody to feel like nobody was there so they could break in the house because you could see that it had not had any attention on the front, so you could only imagine what the back looked like. And I'm saying all that to say because I poured out my complaints before God before I made the call. I poured out my concern before God before I made the call. I poured out my heart and said, God, something isn't right. I just want to know, when are us as saints going to honestly pour out our heart and say, God, something isn't right. We have a need for the church to get in place. We have a need for the church to get in order. We have a need for us to be in a place where when it looks like somebody's in need, our hearts will pour out a cry that says something isn't right. And because I cried out of my complaints and God put it in my heart to do a 311 well-being call on behalf of a neighbor, somebody came to see if he was in trouble. Now, all that did was just show me that in the natural, when we cry out, and we cry out honestly, and we cry out pouring our hearts out, because we could always say, oh, Lord, there go I. What if it was me or you by yourself? What if it was me or you and nobody was coming to check on you? Regardless what the reason is, regardless why, but nobody's coming to check on you because they can't get past the past to see the future or whatever the reason may be. It may be that you don't have anyone, but whatever. Somebody somewhere needs to see you to say, I see you. I see you. I haven't seen you. Because when I made the phone call to 311 and when the Salvation Army called me, they both asked me a question, the same question. When was the last time you saw him? And I had to repeat, I don't really know him. I just know he's a neighbor, someone that lives in my neighborhood that I know house don't look like that, that I know that they keep up a well-kept house. And when I said that to them, they kind of sounded like they was a little shocked, like, you haven't seen them? No, I don't know them like that. Again, I'm going to say I don't know them like that. I just noticed there's no smoke coming out of his chimney. There has not been any snow dug up, plowed up, shoveled up, or nothing in front of his house. That's what I know. And I was so glad to see that somebody came out to see about him, and they did not leave until they made sure that he was okay. You know, I was so glad that even when the young lady, well, the older lady, got stranded in front of my house about 5:15 in the morning or so, that was driving down the street, and she had a mid-sized car. It wasn't like it was a little bitty car. She had a mid-sized car, like a Malibu, and it got stuck up on the snow because this it's the in the intersection. The snow was so high right there and thick that she could not drive over it, and she left her car there for to get out to go get help. She left her blinkers on, her hazard lights and her headlights, so wouldn't nobody run into the car or they would see that the car was in distress. She waited till 11:15 for someone to come move her car. The tow truck came, but it wasn't able to get the flatbed up under her car to lift it up because of the snowbank that was in front and underneath her car. So he had to, you know how they had a little part on your bumper that you push the little square bar in, and you could put a hook in there. He had to pull her over the snowbank, but he had to take his time. But that car sat in front of the intersection, blocking the intersection that you couldn't go around because all the people had dug their cars out, and the snowplow came through and pushed the snow right back where it was and blocked the people back in. So we had snow blocks everywhere, snow mounds, rather, everywhere. And they had to slowly pull her off this mountain, which took from 5:15 a.m., where she began to get stuck at, and she left the vehicle about 6 o'clock after she realized her tires were still spinning, but they was not touching the ground because she was up on the snow. And they did not get her off that snow block until 11:35 this morning, and that's with them starting to pull her off. and he had to pull her off very slowly because he couldn't just pull the car. Because when he pulled her off the snowbank, it was still a lot of snow up there, and we had to wait for people to drive through with SUVs for to knock the snow down because the snowplow from the city have not came back through my block. So I just want to say I thank God because I was crying out about the snow in front of my house, but I thank God for my household going out there shoveling and making sure from the porch down the walkway, down the sidewalk, down the other walkway, around the corner, because it's a corner house, and in front of the garage was shoveled out because I couldn't do that. You know, we have to look at our age for one. We have to look at our health concerns for another. It doesn't make sense to do what you're doing and you can't survive the event of what you were doing because you was too proud to ask or too ashamed to ask, but it doesn't make sense. I'm saying all of this to say, when you cry out and when you get overwhelmed and when you know your path and when you walk in a place of obedience, God will come through for you. I don't have any testimonies of anybody that I would want to give out because I'm not taking away nobody's chance to tell about what God has done for them. But I'm just saying, Psalms 142 and verse 1 said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So your supplications may not always be about you, yours, and what y'all need. Sometimes you got to cry out for others. And I said that to say this. Make sure you ask God to give you a heart for people, to see people the way he see people, to love on and love people the way he love on and love people. When you do that and you allow God to touch and change your heart, you will feel so much better because it's easy to say, I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda. And it's much, much easier to just say, I did. I'd rather for you to say, I was a nosy neighbor than to say, did nobody over there care? Did nobody over there think about it? Did nobody over there try to see if something was wrong? I'd rather be a nosy neighbor because then I know I allow God to touch my heart to see about somebody else. So I'm going to ask Blog Talk. I didn't get a chance to go on Facebook, which I wish I had her. But I'm going to ask Blog Talk if anybody's on the line, if they have anything to say, want to give a testimony, a comment, or anything. The lines are open. Just go right ahead and just let the Lord use you. The lines are open.
This is Cecilia. Okay. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say I have so much to thank God for in the natural and the supernatural, biological. I just have so much to thank him for, and that was why I thank God that he allowed me to write on Facebook that I thought that it was important that I thank him for the tiny things, the small, the medium, no matter what size it was and no matter who it came from. But just to be so grateful to God for everything, and I do mean everything. So I definitely don't have time to share with you all of the things that I'm thankful to God about because it would probably be the rest of my life and I still wouldn't have enough time. That's all I have.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Elect, for that. Is there anyone else?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Ministers. Sylvia, this is Minister Margot. I just want to thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being that good neighbor, that person who is looking beyond themselves to others and being that person who is willing to, as you said, to cry out and check on someone. That just shows, you know, how much is possible if we allow the Lord to use us. You know, you said several times you referred to yourself as the nosy neighbor. However, God tells us that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So
amen.
Like you said, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be noticed because you never know when you might need someone to call out on your behalf. So
yeah.
I think it's just beautiful to hear what you had to say tonight. And I just like to add that, you know, with all this snow, something sort of funny happened. And my husband still shovels our snow, and he is a senior. And it gets to me a little bit, you know. I'm like, honey, we should get a snow blower. And he's like, no, I know what I'm doing. I take my time. But I only want to say, and God is blessed, and he's quite active, but he started to shovel the neighbor's snow.
Yeah.
And I was like banging on the window, like, no. I'm like, don't you shovel their snow. I was not being a good neighbor. And he said, honey, I thought I was just being a good neighbor. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, I'll try not to keep you from being a good neighbor. But sometimes we have to, you know, like you said, measure ourselves. Make sure we know what we're doing. And also, I just wanted to say I thank God for you. You always set such an atmosphere of welcomeness, of atmosphere on this line where people feel like they can open up and just know that they won't be judged, but they will be welcomed and appreciated. And so just thank you for being the woman of God that God has called you to be and for being a good neighbor. God bless.
Thank you so much, Minister Margot, for those words of encouragement. Is there anyone else that would like to speak at this time? Okay, well, that's all I have for this evening. It was about crying out for someone other than yourself. To not always be about me, myself, and I. To think of someone else's need, you know, because we hear on the news, we see in movies, we see on TV where the commercials show somebody fall and they say, I can't get up. You know, they may not have the little bracelet on their arm or the necklace around their neck to push to say, I need help. You know, and I just want to say, well, God, I hope what I did bless someone to let them know that God sees you and he would have people that you least expect to see you to let you know his eye is still on you, not just on the sparrow, but also on you. And it's never too late to call on God. It's never too late to go before God. Because whatever you've done in your past or whatever, just know that God is God. Cry out to God with your voice. Give him your complaints. Let him know that your spirit has been overwhelmed. Don't worry about who is privately laying a snare for you. Just let God be your redeemer. Let God be your captain. Let God be your God. And once you've done all that, then just know that everything else is going to fall into place. Because I thank God for putting that neighbor of mine on my heart, because I could have just been like, oh, well, like the neighbor to my right could have just said, huh, what? You know, and we have neighbors that walk around here all the time that notices everything, but when I saw them walk in the day and asked them to, had they noticed it, nobody had even noticed that his snow had not been shoveled. Nobody. It's scary to think that your neighbors would think of you like that, that they won't even pay attention to see if a change has been made or haven't been made. So with that being said, I just want to say to everybody, thank you all for joining in on tonight. Thank you all for just taking time out to just hear what God has put in my heart to speak to his people about and to teach you all about calling out, calling to God with your voice, and just let it be known. So this was the first Monday of the month. Dr. Serena Wright was not able to be with us because she had to work, and she said to tell you all that she would see you all in March, that and she would be ready. So I just want you all to know, when she comes back on the first Monday in March, she's going to give us a double portion. I want you all to know that. And I want you all to know that this is the first Friday of the month coming up. I will be your speaker Friday. And I'm going to see what God will have for us to talk about, to discuss. I will be on Facebook Live. I will be prepared for Facebook Live this Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, will be your speaker. And on this Sunday, this is the first Sunday of the month of February, our very own Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser, will be your speaker. And we will be talking about whatever God gives her to say. That's what we will be talking about and listening to. The first month of January, God gave her praying for the single family home. She will let us know if God is could have her to continue to do that, or if God is calling her to another assignment. So please be looking out for Apostle-elect Cecilia on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's on Blog Talk. And the next Monday coming up is our second Monday of the month. That will be Servant Pastor Troy Thomas at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pastor Troy Thomas will be our speaker. So please keep an eye out on our Facebook pages to find out who's speaking, and we will go from there. We just want to say God is God, God is able, and God is willing. If you invite him in, he will come in. So I want to say, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And our prayer for tonight is, God, let your words fall on ears that want to hear, a heart that want to receive, a spirit that wants to be transformed, O Lord. I ask you, God, to give us these things, God. I ask you to bless us. I ask you to call every laborer that has been chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Every laborer that has been chosen to step up into place, to step up at a time like this where they are needed more than ever, because with what the enemy has tried to pull on this land, God, everybody needs to be walking in the place that you've called them to. Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry about where they're at. If they're on the corner, if they're homeless, just trust God. Do what God said. And watch God do some things for you. And for those that says he can't, even if he don't, we know he's more than able. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. With all your heart. Trust God with everything that's in you. Minister Margo said on tonight, I set the atmosphere, and I'm saying to you, set your atmosphere. Set it first with saying, Lord God, I ask you to save me, forgive me, and come into my life and be the head of my life. And once you do that, just sit back and wait on the change. Don't help God. Just be available to him. In Jesus' name, that's what I pray. I pray America come back to God and put back on their hearts and their foreheads, their buildings, their courts, and their homes. And God we trust. And God we trust. And believe it in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and good night. Thank you.